If you are curious about how to get your donors to open up about their thoughts and dreams and philanthropic desires before you ask them for a gift, this episode is for you.
Welcome to All About Capital Campaigns, a podcast that provides fuel for your nonprofit's growth. Each week, Andrea Kilstedt and Amy Eisenstein, co-founders of Capital Campaign Pro, provide practical tips about raising more money for your nonprofit organization. Here are your hosts, Amy and Andrea.
Hi, I'm Amy Eisenstein. Andrea has the day off, and I have a special guest with me here. That is Sarah Plimpton, who is our Director of Client Happiness. And we're super excited to be talking to you today about thoughtful questions and cultivation that you can be talking with your donors about, or should be, I should say, talking with your donors about before you ask them for a gift. So, Sarah, why don't you tell us why this is an important topic and why it's so critical for clients heading into campaigns or getting ready to ask for campaign gifts to have these conversations with donors.
Hi, Amy. It's a pleasure and a delight to be with you today and your podcast listeners. So yeah, good questions. Such a rich topic in campaigns. I think that, everyone working on a campaign, immersed in a campaign, sort of has the looming question out there of, will X and such donor consider X and such gift at the right moment, right? That is the ultimate question. But oftentimes what, I think we've found working with clients who are immersed in campaigns is that it can take some time to get ready to ask a donor or a prospective donor that big question, right? Will you give at X level? And it often takes prospects time to get ready to hear that question. And so I find myself often having conversations with nonprofit leaders about, well, what can we ask in the interim that both prepares donors or prospects to get a little closer to being ready to hear that big question, prepares us to affirm a question, will you give, is near term and whether they're ready.
Yeah. So let's set the stage a little bit more for listeners. We dove right in, which is something I love to do. But what we're talking about today is part of the conversation that happens between the feasibility study and asking for a gift often. This is the sort of interim cultivation that happens once you've identified your best lead gift prospects, and you need to prepare them, as you said, prepare them to hear the question and prepare yourselves to ask the question. I love thinking about it that way, that there are two sides that need to be prepared. You're not the only ones that need to be prepared. Your donors need to be prepared to hear that big ask. And so hopefully you've included them in the feasibility study interviews and process, and there are likely subsequent conversations that need to be had and questions that need to be asked before you ask them for a lead gift. So give us an example of a question that inspires donors or prepares donors to be and prepares fundraisers to be asked and to ask.
Yeah. So just in full disclosure, I have to give a big shout out to our advising team, because I actually pitched this question to them a couple months ago. I said, what are your favorite questions to ask donors aside from will you give? And they, in true form, because we have incredible advisors on our team, came back to me with so many amazing questions. So I'm just going to pick from some of the questions that they sent our way and talk about, what do we like about these questions, and how might they advance a relationship with a donor and lead to readiness? So the first question that I want to share with our listeners is something along the lines of this. What brings you most joy with respect to our organization, right? So if you think about what this question is doing, it's focusing on the joy of the donor. which is such a lovely place to go with a donor, right? To ask them, like, what is joyous for you about who we are and what we do?
Yes.
And it also gives us clues about what this person is most passionate about as it pertains to our organization.
Yes.
Which is so important because that's really the playbook of where you want to focus your cultivation efforts and energies.
Yeah, I think you're so right. It's so important to pay attention to why does this, I mean, it gets to the heart of why does this donor care? You know, what makes them feel good about giving to this organization, to supporting it? Why is it important to them? Or what aspects of your mission is important to the donor? You know, not every donor is going to connect or resonate with every aspect of your campaign or your organization or your mission. And so in order to get the biggest gift, to be sort of crude about it, you do want to connect the aspects of the organization and the campaign and the mission that spark most joy with each particular individual donor.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that I try to remind myself of a lot or often is the fact that people remember what they say far more than what is said to them. So to the extent that we can ask good probing questions of our prospects that get them essentially cultivating themselves.
I love that.
That is really what we want to go for, right? Not to ask basic questions or, you know, I don't know, unthoughtful questions, but good questions that get people talking about their own reflections. You don't have to guess, right? Let people tell you what they're just about. And the fact that they have an opportunity to talk about it is deepening the joy and is deepening their sense of self as it connects to that joy.
Yes, I love that. What's another question that fundraisers might ask prospective donors?
Yeah, so another one that came forth when I posed this question to our advisors that I loved was, if you had a magic wand, what would you wish most for our organization? Or, you know, a sort of a variant of that would be something like, what would you hope that we might look like or be doing 10 years from now?
Right. What's the impact we might be having? What might we accomplish over the next 10 years?
Yeah.
If you could, you know, wish anything, right? If you were the magician.
Yeah.
And love it.
What I think is so magical about that question is it invites people to dream with us for a moment. And who, first of all, who doesn't like doing that? You know, sort of stepping back and thinking big picture about a societal issue that your organization might be tapping into or trying to affect change for. But it also allows you as a fundraiser to see, what do they hope for us? Right? What is the scale of their aspiration for us? Like, what impact do they think would be really exciting if we could reach? If their aspirations align with what we are in fact doing or hoping to do, it's a beautiful segue into a conversation around, you know, what you are working on right now and why it's so so impactful.
Right. So let me push back for a minute or play devil's advocate. And I think that one of the reasons that a lot of fundraisers are hesitant to ask a question like this, that kind of could go off in a lot of different directions, is, you know, what if there's not alignment? Or what if they want to do something or have something happen that isn't part of the plan? So is there any context that's set up or boundaries that you would put on this question? Or have you talked about the scope of your campaign first so that there's guardrails to this conversation? Or are you really letting them sky's the limit kind of conversation here? What do you think?
I mean, first of all, that's such a great question and such an interesting question. I think that trust donors to be partners in the work. And, you know, the question is really not about what do you want for us 10 years from now? Because we're going to go out and create that reality verbatim, right? Of course, there are going to be differences. Of course, there are going to be, you know, things that aren't possible or things that, you know, if the donor isn't immersed in the program side or in the, you know, nuance of the work, maybe can't happen. But I think that that's all more of an opportunity and more of an invitation to explore, like, what is possible and how there are different views maybe between, let's say you're the director of development asking this question and, you know, a top potential donor answering the question. I think if the top potential donor, you know, offers something a little wacky or a little out there, sure, that can be a little bit unsettling and destabilizing in the moment. But I would just say, like, deep breath, trust that when you ask people for their feedback and their authentic feedback, what you're cultivating there is a relationship, which is a back and forth, which is a partnership. And
yes,
that there is a way for you to, I think, use their response to say something like, my gosh, that's so fascinating that that's where your mind goes. Here's where my mind goes, or here's where we're heading. And what do you make of that?
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with that, of having a different take on the future.
I love it. And also saying, I need to really think about that because we never thought about that before. And let me circle back. And that's an opportunity for another conversation.
Absolutely. You've just hit something that I think is so important that can also be so hard. The power of saying, I need time to process that, or I don't know. Let me get back to you with more information.
Right.
That's perfectly fine to say.
Yes. I think people are afraid to say that. They think they have to have all the answers and that they have to know everything. And having donors in this almost exploratory phase is super helpful. Mm-hmm. Super helpful. All right. Excellent. Let's move on to another question, because there are so many good ones. And I think that one of the things that we're trying to do here today for listeners is give you choices and options and open up your thought process in terms of how to have these conversations with donors. There's no one size fits all question, and there's no right or wrong question. And you might take the questions that we present today and make a hybrid question and make them your own, and you should, and customize them for each donor and the relationship that you have with that donor. So let's spit out a few more. What's another question that listeners might ask of their donors while cultivating?
Okay. Before I give you the next question, I just want to emphasize, I couldn't agree more with what you just said, that this is not meant to be prescriptive. In fact, in our online toolkit, which clients have full access to, as you know, Amy, we have a list, I think it's like 4 or 5 pages long, of different types of open-ended questions that you can ask prospects and donors. Now, the intention of this list is not to have anyone take it and ask a donor or a prospect every single question on this list, right? That would
4 to 5. Yeah. Hundreds, 100 questions.
Your donors would run away. Don't ever do
that.
But the point of it is to say the sky is the limit on good, thoughtful, probing, relational questions that you can ask donors. Use this as a brainstorming tool. So that list in our toolkit is there for our clients. And this discussion is meant to prompt thinking in this regard.
All right. So thank you for bringing that up. So I just want to let listeners know who are thinking, oh my gosh, we're not clients. How do we get access to that list? So I encourage you to visit capitalcampaignpro.com. And we have a do-it-yourself support system, which includes our online toolkit, which is all the resources. So if you want access to that list today, we have tons of free resources on the website. That particular list that Sarah just referenced is for clients only. It's behind a paywall, but you can get access through our do-it-yourself support system, which is meant to be our most affordable option for organizations running campaigns. So go check it out. All right. Next question,
Next
Sarah.
Next question. All right. Amy, how did you learn to be generous?
That is a great question. Can I tell you that I have great memories of going to a soup kitchen with my mother as a child? And, you know, she taught me the importance of giving back to others, both volunteering and through donations. You know, us personally, we celebrate Hanukkah instead of Christmas. And some of the nights we didn't get presents, we gave to charity instead. And as a family, we picked the charities we were going to give to. So that's such a great question, Sarah, because it brings up so many possible answers and opens up the conversation in so many ways. And every donor is going to have a different answer.
Yeah.
And have a good, warm, fuzzy feeling, hopefully, about that.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, I guess some people's answers could be, I had a hard childhood, so I wanted to give back. But that's important to know
that's
and hear too.
Yeah, for sure. It also leads to, you know, and I think it depends on the age of your donor, your prospect, but it also leads to a really interesting conversation about how are you teaching generosity in your family, right? If you're talking maybe to the matriarch or patriarch of a family who has, you know, kids and grandkids.
Yes.
How is that being passed down? Both how is it modeled for you and how are you modeling it?
Yeah.
It's such a rich question. And it also, I think, it assumes generosity, right?
Yeah.
It assumes that people are generous and are coming to the conversation with a generous spirit, which I love.
Excellent. I love that. Okay. Let's do one more question, and then I'm going to throw you sort of a curveball that we didn't discuss in advance, and that is to talk about one time that you asked a donor any one of these questions. So first, let's give listeners one more question to think about, and I'll give you a minute to ponder that as well.
Sure. So this is sort of a feasibility study question, but as our clients know, I'm a firm believer that you can use the methodology of a feasibility study all the time. You should always be asking donors great questions. I mean, here we are having this conversation about good questions. But one of the questions that I think is important to ask donors, regardless of whether you're in a feasibility study or not, is where do we fit among your giving priorities, right? I'm curious, Amy, where does XYZ organization fit among all the places that you, you know, sit down and decide we're going to give every year to these places? Where do we fit?
Yeah, it's such an important task, donors heading into a campaign, because if you don't know that you're in the top two or the top three or the bottom 10, right? Or not on their list at all, that's a really important context for you as a fundraiser to have and for them as a donor to think about. And you know, frequently we'll ask donors and board members to say, you know, for the next 3 years, would you consider us your number one charity while we do this campaign? Mm-hmm. And so even if we're number three or number five, could we be bumped up for a couple of years while we do this amazing project? So such an important question.
And it changes. Right? Philanthropic priorities shift.
Yes.
They shift.
Yes, for sure. As somebody in your family gets cancer or, you know, something happens as you age, different ages and stages in life, of course, your priorities shift for sure.
And also, so I think that philanthropic priorities can shift from two push factors, push-pull factors, right? So there's what's happening in the donor's life, which you just alluded to. Somebody gets cancer, they're getting older, priorities change, right? We don't have as much control over that as fundraisers, but we do have control over, do we call donors? Do we reach out to them? Do we engage them? Do we invite them to do things? Do we include them? Do we ask advice of them? Do we notice their patterns as donors and, you know, signal to them that we see their patterns? That's all within our control. And let me tell you, if you are a fundraiser who is paying attention to those things, who is looking proactively for opportunities to engage your donors and bring them closer to you, you can shift your organization in an upward trajectory as a priority. Similarly, you can lose people, right? Like your people who were once saying, yes, this organization is my highest priority or one of my highest priorities, that relationship can atrophy if you don't attend to it.
For sure. All right, let me circle back. Can you think of a time or share a story of a time that you asked a donor one of these questions and, you know, were either surprised by their answer or moved by their answer or learned something? How did one of these answers help you move the relationship to really ask for a much more thoughtful and generous gift for a campaign you've worked on?
Yeah. So I can give you two scenarios. One of them sort of answers your question. And then the other scenario is like a little different. So it's a curveball back at you, Amy. Okay.
Great. Let's do it.
In my frontline days fundraising, I remember working with an elderly woman who was a donor to an organization, had been for years and years and years, kind of always steady giving like $2,000, $2,500 a year to the annual fund. We're in this campaign, and our research indicated that this woman had mega seven-figure capacity, right? And she maybe lifetime giving was between $30,000 and $40,000. So she hadn't scratched the surface on what the research was indicating her capacity might yield. And she was pretty, you know, feeble. So it was kind of hard to get her into meetings and for tours and all that kind of stuff. So it was a lot of sort of like quiet cultivation, if that makes sense. Like I would call her, or I would write her notes, or I would go, you know, bring her cookies and have tea with her. And I did ask her, like, how did you learn to be generous? And she opened up to me about her parents who had been, you know, this was early 1900s. Her parents were doing their thing, but, you know, in that sort of the height of their lives. And they had really carefully, you know, sort of cultivated generosity, much the way that your mother did with Hanukkah and soup kitchen and all that kind of stuff. But it was fascinating because she talked about how, in response to that, her brother had completely shunned giving and had taken his inheritance and had sort of like sat on it and become very kind of miserly. And that force had actually empowered her to be even more generous. And she shared with me, like, I want to give away all of our, all of my inheritance. And I actually, you know, working with my kids to make that happen. And, you know, they know they're not getting any inheritance. And so it opened up a conversation that, you know, I had been thinking, you know, maybe we'll get to a seven-figure place with this woman because the research indicates that. We ended up securing a multi-seven-figure commitment from her that included estate, giving, capital, right, and endowment. And maybe we would have gotten there anyway, but it was sort of fast-tracked because I had this wonderful insight into her motivation around.
I love that. It's a great example. Yeah, good.
Here's my other little curveball. So this is a question that one of my favorite Capital Campaign Pro clients. Actually, I'm going to be honest. All of our clients are favorites. I have this problem. I fall in love with our clients. But one of my favorite Capital Campaign Pro clients recently got a gift from a donor, and it was less than they had been hoping for. Right?
Yeah.
So she was a little disappointed.
Yeah,
getting this verbal commitment from a donor, and she's disappointed. And she had a question back to the donor that I thought was brilliant. And I'm going to put it out here for all of our listeners. She said, "That's so interesting. Tell me how you arrived at that number."
Yes. Yes. And did the gift change?
The gift, to my knowledge, has not yet changed, but it might.
Okay. But there's insight on the table.
Insight on the table. Yeah. It's a way to like to create a breathing moment of like, you don't have to say, "Oh my gosh, that's terrible. Like I wanted so much more." I mean, you should never say that.
Yes.
But it just gives you insight into what was going on in their thinking process leading up to this decision. And
right. What was that? Excellent. I love that. I love that. Okay. So two things. One is, you know, you sort of alluded to this idea that fundraisers would be asking feasibility study questions, and that is not always the case in traditional feasibility studies. So I just want to let listeners know who were really paying attention. That is our model of feasibility study at Capital Campaign Pro, is to teach and guide and train you, the nonprofit leaders, to ask those feasibility study questions and be in the room with your donors. So if you're curious and you want to learn more, head over to the Capital Campaign Pro website and you'll see a click down for feasibility studies. You can watch a little 4-minute video on what we're talking about. Okay, there's one more question, and it's about joyful giving.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this question about the focusing on the donor's joy through giving, Because we started with a question about joy in terms of what the organization can accomplish. But I think this one has a slightly different and important spin.
Mm-hmm. You're exactly right. So the question is this: how could our organization be better at increasing the joy of your giving?
Yes. Let's just pause for a minute and take that in. Let that sink in, wash over us.
Mm-hmm.
Say it again. Say it one more time.
How could our organization be better at increasing the joy of your giving?
Brilliant.
Brilliant, right?
Yes.
Not asking you to increase the gift. We are asking about how can we increase your joy in giving?
Yes. All right.
Yep.
Let's leave it there. Thank you so much for joining me, Sarah. It's always a pleasure talking to you about these brilliant campaign topics and really being so thoughtful and strategic in terms of our fundraising and communicating with donors. So thank you so much for being a guest. And thanks, listeners, for tuning in today. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining Amy and Andrea for today's All About Capital Campaigns. To learn more about them and their work together, visit CapitalCampaignPro.com. And please subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite podcasting platform. Thank you.